when you compared me to Korok and said that you better watch that.
Listen, Korok has good signs. I think I got the hang of this. Okay, so my assumption is that they go. That's good. Oh, you have a thing there?
To be tested. So
okay.
You always have three or four backups.
I think this actually might.
You recorded. Sort of something, but.
Photo.
This show is on Skype. Rabbi Lepansky knows how to do the recording on Skype.
Well, I'm trying. Skype is easy. You're in a
computer mode anyways?
Yeah, so it's not a big thing to record it. So why isn't okay. Books, radio, photo, radio. Photo.
Is this your son's house or did you rent a place?
No, I rented a place. It's near actually here it is, okay. It's my daughter's live here. And this is like three houses up from one door to the other, half another door or so. Okay. Yeah, so it's recording. Okay, so, the Sefer Mishle. B'tachal Hashem b'chol levavcha v'l binos v'tishoyin. So the Pasuk says you should be b'tach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not rely on your bina. Shemel chasol matzol leimah. Ha'odom yosim b'tchoyna b'yos baruch b'tochon gomal mashu tzarech. A person needs to be b'tach HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that which he needs. Va'al yishoyin al binosoi loyma kadei tvunosa yuchel ishtadl mashu tzarech elof. A person should not rely on his bina, but rather say rak yosim Hashem b'tchoy. So now he's going to give a certain hakdara as to how do you put the things in place. Ki af she tzorich lasa is kol maisa b'chochma yisem fanes. Even though a person is supposed to use chochma in doing his things, and a person is not supposed to rely on an ace, mikol makoim al yeshoyin al tfunosi b'lvad loima ki chochmosa yigroin lasa ma she yirtze rak yiftach b'ashem shu yoytzi machshav t'shachos lasa al poil. So this is the key sentence that really is the point that he's making in this piece over here. Let's talk about it a minute. There's a pasuk in Mishle. It says, "La'odam marcheleiv u'me'ashem manelashen," that a person sets up his heart in a certain way, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides the dibur. So it's a very interesting pasuk because Adam is called a medaber in the bria. Adam is nefesh chay, is ruach memala, and he was the medaber in the bria. That's his tafkid. So the pasuk is telling you that even in that tafkid, there's a chaluka of two halves. Adam has a shilton of pchira, and a person can be bocher, but the bechira, a person doesn't have the bechira to actualize something. And in other words, let's take the example of Korach HaDibur. So a person can set out, a person has the bechira to decide whether he's going to speak Lashon Hara or not, whether he'll say something to be nice to somebody or not nice to somebody. But will what comes out actually be that which he had in mind? There's no guarantee for that. Because there's no bechira on that nekuda. It's one of the things I think that's very important in reconciling a lot of the steers between person having HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yediyah and our bechira. We do have the Bechira 100%, but the accomplishment of it is not where we have Bechira. I can choose to do, to shoot a bullet at Reuven, but, and that I have a total ability to choose, But that choice, it doesn't mean I have the ability to kill Reuven. This Nekuda which really answers a lot of the issues about the steers between my Bechira and the other person's Bechira, and my Bechira, Kodesh Baruch Hu's Yedi, and so on. Bechira fully works at the level of a person's of the person's thought and going to do something. It doesn't work on the accomplishment. I want to bring a place where this was, I guess, displayed openly in Avodah Shemayim. It says by Aaron in Pasha Shmini, so Aaron had everything done, everything ready, and now they're just waiting for the Eish to come down on the Shemayim, for Shoros HaShchina, and things weren't moving, and he was very, very upset. And then Moshe said, V'ina HaShem Aleinu, Ma'asedein Kon Aleinu, Ma'asedein Kon Neu. It means that the Avodah, Aaron's Avodah lay in Hachana, but the actualization of the Avodah, which was the Ashraz Hashchina, that's not in the domain of Adam. The Ramchal's almost entire Das Tavunas is built around this Nekuda, that the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in history, moving the history towards the direction that he sees fit. So that means that the history is going to become what Hashem wants it, despite the fact that I can or that I can help do it and be seen as the protagonist. I can go against it and be seen as the adversary that was overcome. I could, I could stand aside. All of those things are true. There's another Chazal like that. There's a Chazal that actually deals, one of the few Chazals that really deals with the philosophical issue of Hashem versus us, two people's Bechir interacting. It says, Kol Dmei Achicha Tzorakim Elai. So Chazal say not Elai, but Olai. That when Adam killed, Cain killed Hevel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, his blood cries out to me. Chazal Darshan, it should read, cries out against me. And it gives a mashal. It says a mashal, there was two gladiators in the forum fighting each other to the death, and it comes to this point where one of them has a sword over the other one, and the gladiator was about to be killed, turns to the king, to the Caesar, and he says, if you thumbs up actually was kill the person, thumbs down was don't kill him. He said, yes, that's actually, we've destroyed the Masorah completely. But that was the maybe the pshat was, thumbs up was the result people wanted. So that's why he said, I gave you a thumbs up to do it. That means this way, like you can kill him. So he said to him, it's up to you now whether I get killed or not. So if I do get killed, you're an accomplice. It's a bit of Musa wasted on a Roman emperor who lived off the stuff. But the Mashal, the Chazal, is very specific. The gladiator is the one who's killing him, and it's his intention to kill him, and he's the perpetrator. But the will it become actualized is totally not Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Mashal Nimshal over there. So. Certainly, if a person doesn't do the hachanas for things, they're not going to happen. That's what he says. That's Eisam Halanes. If a person is not making himself to do X or Y or Z, X or Y or Z is not going to come unless it's a Maisenes. But if the person is making himself, then the next phase of it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's input lies in the actualization of it. It's very interesting. Rabbi Saul Salanta used to have a vart about how people ought to act. In Yiddish, it sounds much better. He says, "A mensch darf ton, nicht noch ton. A mensch darf ton, nicht öfton," which means a person needs to do and not to imitate. Ton means to do, noch ton means to imitate the other, and a mensch darf ton and nicht oifton. Person needs to do and not to accomplish. And that's a very extraordinary statement, because Avodas Perech to us is halachically not hard work, but work that doesn't accomplish anything. So for us to do something and not to accomplish doesn't seem to be, we have a very hard time doing it. I was recently speaking with somebody who's involved in a situation where it's his duty to speak about something, to try to remedy the situation. Chances are not fantastic that it'll work, that his line of argument or reasoning will persuade the other person. And we were sort of mulling it over, and I told him, you know, like, you definitely have a chiyuv to do your best to talk and to explain until you turn blue, because you're the only person that can do it, and it's something that needs to be done. If nothing happened and it didn't work, then, like, you know, by Eliezer, when he kissed him, Alascha, that's it. But you can't shirk your duty and not do it. And it's a very tough one. To do and understand that all we have the bechira is to do, and the accomplishment will never be ours per se, that's very, very hard on a person. But on the other hand, that's where bitachon comes in. In other words, it's wrong to involve bitachon on the chelik of where there's bechira. So if a person is getting bar mitzvah, or if a person's child is getting bar mitzvah, he cannot be talking that the pair of tefillin will appear. I mean, he has a chiyuv to do it. The person has a chiyuv to make many shtadlis in many areas. But our problem is, and the way he's explaining it here is, our uncertainties are because we feel that the accomplishment is up to our direct maisa. It has the same level of bechira as our hachanit remaisa, but that's not right, because that's up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, once a person has done everything that he can or needs to do, and the next piece is up to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and then he can relax in that part. He ought not to have the tension, the pressure, once he's done it, because the understanding is it's no longer attributable to him. So he's giving a gedara.
He doesn't say it. He says Hashem will be Moses a player.
But he says, but take a look. He says the next line is V'amah betachal Hashem rak yiftach b'Hashem sheyitzim hashat hashachav tzatzalpo V'amah v'techal Hashem l'amah betach b'Hashem ki medava b'shas maisa. He knows he's saying betach el Hashem rather than betach b'Hashem. Ki bedava b'shas maisa, ubeoise shor. So while he's doing, so now Yosef achshav tochne el Hashem sheimo, v'davazek moi tefillah Hashem isbarach, v'ilu bitchu boi nema sheyosim adam bitchane moi isbarach v'ne medava al shas maisa. So in other words, he's saying betach b'Hashem is a general state where a person feels Hashem Baruch Hu will look after him. Betach El Hashem is while I am doing the part that I need to do, I need to mispal HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finish the part that he's going to do. So a person needs, Bitachon is the understanding that in the actualization it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we have sort of clear hagdaris of where we're supposed to put each one of us. We have a chiyuv to do the Maisim, and then we have a chiyuv to mispalel that Kadosh Baruch Hu want to do what he's supposed to do. That's how the two work in tandem. There's a certain shutfis. It's very, very interesting. You see it by Chassidim, in one of the schools of Avoda is to put all your effort into the Hachana for Avoda, and then the Etzim Avoda itself not to put that much into. Depending on different chassidus, but in a place like the old time Chabad, when they davened 10 o'clock, they were supposed to be working on the davening from 7 to 10. They were supposed to be learning a mimer, getting into it, and so on and so forth. The davening itself classically was kind of rapid. Didn't schlep that long. And there was a certain sense that the preparation and the mindset, a person's bechir is there, and that's his. Like we said, the marchilev part of it is kulei adam. But what comes out, whether I scream longer or yell longer, it was a certain perspective to put each piece into place. So betachal Hashem means the sort of look towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finalize it and make it take in place.
But not that at all, right?
Yes. Exactly. This is not the point he's making. There will be some subtle points in places. So in other words, he's not relying that the accomplishment will be his bina, but the accomplishment will be. There's a saying in English, something along the lines of don't wish too hard for something or you'll get it or something like that. I forgot, it's kind of different, don't pray. And there's a certain sense, when you overstep your bounds, and instead of you doing what you're supposed to do, you actually try to make sure that it happens exactly the way you intended it to happen, that's where the problem starts. That when a person is scared, and we'll see in a second, yitin moikish, batech b'Hashem yisugav. And someone's batech HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be saved or uplifted. Let's just see the end of this and we'll see something. If the person is scared, it shows he doesn't have to be tochen, and that becomes a problem. This is a point he's going to start leading in, and it goes as follows, that if a person is overly scared, if a person is frightened, it's a sign of a lack of bitachon. It's going to be the next piece about Ahu Talmid, and we need to ask ourselves the following question. And there will be he's going to discuss it in the next piece as well, obviously in a little bit of a different way. But let's look at the point and the question. So, one of the points that's mentioned constantly about midas bitachon is by Chavos Halvavos, for instance. It's about how calm and collected a person who's Batech Hashem is. Now, it's true. I think you've got to admit that. But it doesn't answer any questions because that's begging the questions. It's like somebody tells me if you'd be a genius, you'd ace that test and you wouldn't have a problem. Yeah, but the problem is I'm not a genius, so I'm not going to ace the test. You're telling me one of the advantages of having bitachon is that you sleep well at night and you're calm and you're collected and so on and so forth. But now the question is, that begs the question. It's nice when you're absolutely, when you feel confident and reassured, but how do you feel confident and reassured? It's not getting anywhere. There was a Goyish writer in America once said that life without religion is unthinkable, but that doesn't make religion true. In other words, yes, President Apitachon is very nervous, but it's not helping any. So you could say one way of looking at these different chazal, and chazal is that it's a test rather than, it's not a hechetimtza. But if you want to test yourself to see whether your bitachon is good or not, then see how well you sleep at night. How anxious are you? there's an interview with Rav Soloveitchik. It was supposed to be in the 50s or 60s. It was in, I think, Yediot, and It was very fascinating. It's printed in one of his things about, he writes about how annoyed he is with all the people that peddle religion as a panacea for worrying, and it's just like wonderful. You sleep like a baby at night, and you feel so happy and thrilled and wonderful and good. He said, no, religion tenses you up and demands of you. And you know, and that's why, you know, and like as a true Litvak, he writes, you know, and that's what makes religion true. You know, it's demanding, it's not comforting. You know, he exaggerates the point, but that's the point he's making. So one we can learn this is a symptom. Person's Boteach, and some of the Gemaras seem to be that way, like next Gemara and so on. But in this point over here, I think what he's saying is as follows. When a person is doing what he's supposed to do, anxiety is in place. Because, and productive anxiety, for instance, sitting, if a person comes and tells you, I'm very worried that a meteorite might strike the earth and destroy us all. Now, the answer to that is, well, that's a very, very unproductive emotion. It's not prompting you to do anything. It's, you know, if the meteorite decides to destroy the world, it's destroying it. And there's nothing you can do about it, and there's no point to it. It's a meaningless, you know, it's like worrying about dying. Well, you will die, so what are you going to worry about? I mean, we're all going to die, so worrying about it doesn't mean anything. It's an absolutely fruitless emotion. Now, what's right is, as long as I have to do something, the emotion of being nervous is, I realize the importance. A person's operating. I mean, every move of my hand is deciding a person's fate. And therefore, the being nervous or anxious is an emotion that makes sense. You can say sometimes it's counterproductive, but at any rate, the emotion is real. It makes sense. If a person understands the accomplishment as being him, then the anxiety should stretch all the way. But if the person understands, that's it. I've done my share, and that's over with. Whether it'll happen or not is bidei Hashem. And I've told this story probably a few times. The Briska Rav in Warsaw, he was in Warsaw during World War II. And the Germans bombed Warsaw. They were trying to get Poland to surrender. And, you know, there were no bomb shelters, and people were dying left and right. And they came to ask the Briska Rav, should they stay in the house? And it offers some protection against the bombs, but it's a target. Should they go out to the open fields, and over there, it's not an inviting target, so the Germans are not going to be, you know, bent on bombing it. But if they get bombed, there's nothing, you know, it's there's nothing to, there's no shelter. The Rav agonized the issue tremendously. Really was icebench, and he finally said, "I have no hachra and shevatai sort of. So wherever you are when you start bombing, stay there, because to do a pu'ula that might be a suffix, putting yourself in danger, you can't." So, when the bombing started, people were petrified, and the Rav was calm. And someone asked him, "I don't understand, you know, yesterday you were ice bench, now the bombs are for real." So he said, "Yesterday I had a decision to make, and it's a decision of the fascists. And I was totally ice bench." He said, "Today I have no decisions to make. Whatever it is Hashem. So there's no point. I don't have any nervousness. Whatever will be, and that's it." So as long as we identify the accomplishment with ourself, then until it doesn't actually happen, a person is scared. But when the person has done what he's supposed to do, and it's over with, then from the point that he's finished doing what he's supposed to do, there's no makom for pachad. I forget which rabbi used to be that he used to bake matzahs, and he would hurry up and throw them into the oven as rapidly as possible. Not so much because if you work, that's a Lutzvish mindset, that if you work less on it, it becomes, you know, chametz less in the halachic. His mindset was, he says, Eplo no biyad Hashem v'ala poylo biyad Adam. Like, from the oven onwards, the Kashbar is taking care of it. So that's his problem. Till the oven is my problem. But that's, I think this is the sense he means this in this one. Next one is going to be a little more different. Upeir karoya, ahu talmida davishokel va'azla basar bishmal rav Yosi. Chazir kol mefachid. He saw him. He was scared. Omli chatas chatoat. You're a sinner. The chsiv pachta b'tzin chatoim. Amalei v'chsiv asher mefachid. Talmid. Over the v'tayr chsiv. Yehuda bar Nasan avishokel va'azla basar rav Nuna. Chazir kol misnach. He saw there was krechzi. Amalei said, Yisurim kaboy o gavur l'sir nafshei. You want to bring Yisurim d'chsev ki pachat pachare to be a sonny. Amalei v'chsev asher fach. Tamu d'vei tariqs. Fine, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara basically says being scared is bad, except for d'vei tariqs. And again, this is, even without going to what he's saying, you want to drink something? I mean, this is lukewarm and this is cool. You want? Please. I feel bad. If my wife would be here, she would have. Okay? This is warm. There's nothing. By the time I got here, this wasn't Bechdesh Yasa to. What? It's water with some flavor to it. Yeah, so. Okay. So he says biyazer. So we have two places where pachad is counterproductive and bad. Biyazer kamifachid hefech abatech b'yisparach. Shabatech b'yisparach eino yorid. Kama shama Shlomo cherdas adam yitin moikesh abatech b'shem yisugav. One. Let's leave that aside for a second. Ki aklia shusholim v'chazik be'atzmoy ein tzor sheyorim min ashvir kashu chazak. So there's two reasons why the pachad creates a mass of yisur. The first one is the kivim she'im v'chol b'tochen ategorim yisurim shevo, and the second one is when something is strong, it doesn't. That itself is reason not to be scared of it breaking. The pachad itself is a riot if you're not sholim. Okay, let's see. I want to see the second one first, the second point, and then maybe we'll go back after time to the first one. He continues mostly with the second piece here. Let's give an example. When somebody comes in and he knows his stuff, and he feels he knows his stuff, he's not scared of a test. He might be a little bit anxious, but he's not crazy. If a person knows that if a person knows that he is doesn't know his stuff, he's going to be very, very scared, because his mind tells him where he's holding. Let's say a person has a relationship with somebody. He's somebody's friend, but he's been talking behind his back. So when then he next time he meets the person, he's always scared. Maybe he heard what I said about him. If my conscience is not clear, I don't feel comfortable with the person. The fear is a result of my inner self being aware of this. When a person's sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pull a fast one on him, it's a result because the person, well, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu pull a fast on me? The answer is because I'm a Baal Chet. I haven't tended to the Chet properly. I haven't done tshuva. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. So now, those fears are the realization of my inadequacies coming out. So it's not that I'm worried so much about this particular thing, but I know that my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not great. I don't do all that much good, and I'm lacking something. So the pachad there, I think the way he's describing it is a sort of a realization of how fragile your relationship is, because there are many things you've done that are not great. And that's why, so just like if you have this...
It's a simen,
but it's a simen that the person would have a hard time getting on his own until he doesn't, until he doesn't become aware of it, when he's not comfortable with his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he doesn't think, I mean, with a bus of a dumb, you have a suffix. Did he hear what I said behind his back? Did he not hear? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have a suffix. So that fear is something that comes out. Let's finish this piece.
I think this Peshitta, no?
Yes, this guy's Peshitta. Well, but it's more the way the chet affects. Well, why wouldn't I rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do it. The answer is because I feel quite inadequate. Kakliya says, Shosholim b'chazik ba'atzma in so she yorim min ha-shvira shechazak. Al kshu ra kalu ha-shvira. V'zeshu mefachayt mochach she nesholim. The pachad itself, your body, it's like a lie detector test. A lie detector test works on the fact that your body is nervous about the fact that you've lied. The body itself reacts based on its sense of things. Eo said, when he was sitting around, he said, I've always been scared of this coming. Why were you scared of this coming? The answer is because down deep you realized that there are things amiss, even though the picture looks good, but there are things amiss. An anocha is a sort of a sense of inadequacy. It's saying a little bit different here, but we'll stick to this chat. Well, the kachu muchel neshvir legamri. Vahur mefachet dom hachatoat, kachet korv loy hashvira b'shul chet el kachu mefachet domi. So one is that the pachat is all the chet, one is a sense of inadequacy, but it's very close. Umak shev oksiv asher mefachet domi, umukel di b'ter. V'dova ze yesh le ta muflo kumar. So now he's going to explain also why is the b'ter Torah different. Let's explain. We've spoken about this piece before. Yeah, about things that are normal. For instance, if somebody comes to you and says, "I sometimes become scared. I wonder if I davened that day or not. If I davened that morning or not." You have a sense that something's wrong with the person. A boy came up to me once in yeshiva. He's a boy who suffered from a terrible OCD. And after like a 3-hour Yom Kippur Shemoneh Esrei, he came over, he said he might have skipped the Bechein, all the Bechein, the Bechein, Tehzachin, and stuff. So I wasn't bothered. I was bothered by the fact that he wasn't sure. And after like a huge Shemoneh Esrei, it took like hours. I mean, so you were going letter by letter in the machzah. So what exactly is the part you're not sure? I mean, that person had real problems. He had OCD. When a person is scared of doing something that's natural to him, and that fits him, it's natural for him, he's done it, then we say down deep you realize something's amiss, and that's where it's coming from. But when a person is doing things that person is a tightrope walker. So if a person were to walk in the street and to be scared of falling down, either the person has severely OCD, or the person knows that he has the sense that he has some progressive disease, you know, something's been creeping up on him, a problem with balance, a problem, and his fears are those hidden fears pushing through. You know, one time he was walking, sort of almost lost his balance, and he said, oh my gosh, maybe I have this or that, and he said, no, don't think about it. But a person starts becoming very cautious because of that. That's one possibility. Or a second possibility is a person is doing something that's really very difficult. For to walk a tightrope, and no matter how well you're doing it, it's a tightrope over a big place. In normal mitzvahs and averus, a person is about mitzvahs, not about averus. Listen, why would I start thinking about doing averus unless down deep I realize that things are amiss? Divrei Torah is unique because the default setting for a person is not to be a Ben Torah. A Ben Torah in the sense of a ruchnistic person where Torah is natural for him. That it's natural for me to walk until Siddayim, yes. At some point, is it natural for me to kosher? Yes. And if I start worrying about it, then I may be covering up for something. But to sit and to learn, it's a ruchnistic activity which is alien to a person. And a person needs to understand it that way. I was reading, actually, someone gave me a book to read, a sefer. It's called Batzascha Tancheni. Did you see it ever? Someone showed me. It's two volumes written by a mashgiach in one of the yeshivas. It basically starts out along the lines of, I mean, do you wake up in the morning full of Avas Hashem, waiting and running to get to the Beis Medrash and so forth? If yes, get a different sefer. The same is not for you. Do you find learning difficult and boring and getting up in the morning to pits and so on and so forth, then bravo, you're normal, and this safer has what to offer. And it's an amazing, it's sort of a hadracha for you know, he says that the biggest problem is we've idealized a type that doesn't exist, and by presenting that as the norm, and you're on below par. If you don't do it, you are, you know, so basically, where people become depressed, frustrated, you know, or drop it. An amazing two volumes. Like, it goes through everything like that, you know, and all the different, I mean, if someone gave it to me, he told me that he found it to be extraordinarily fascinating, and so I started looking at it, and I really was, if somebody put out Puchikovsky, I don't know who the person is, yes, has all sorts of Askamis, from all sorts of Dov Yaffe, and all that. It was very, very, very interesting. But in Divrei Torah, for sure, it's not the norm for the vast amount of people to be totally submerged in learning in a way that it needs an effort to get away from it. I mean, one of the stories about Rabbi Yashiv, one of the nuances of the stories that I found to be extraordinary was, you know, he would get up 2 in the morning every morning of his life. And he had this thing where he would throw off this blanket and then rush to the sink and put cold water on himself. And then get up and learn. But in his 90s, he was still getting up to, and he still was doing it this way because he still had to fight it. So, like, they don't emphasize that piece enough. They emphasize his bravery that when he was well in his mid-90s, he was still doing this, and which certainly is extraordinary. But he still needed to do it that way. You know, it wasn't with everything still wasn't happening. So in Divrei Torah, Pachad is a reflection of the matzah the way it's supposed to be. So in other words, the problem with Pachad in the wrong place is a person needs to shape his sense of things so that the Pachad comes at the place that it's supposed to come. So when a person is when a person has bitachon, he says, okay, what will count is my input, and that's where the stress needs to take place, not the result. The result is in Hashem's hands, and whatever he wishes, and that's fine. It's got nothing to do with me because I'm out of that. That's not my cheshbon. A person who is mefached is down deep shows either an inadequacy of relying. He's not giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu what HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be getting. So he thinks that he's responsible for the results as well, and it's his doing, and therefore he's going to have to take the blame for it not happening.
But he can't have pachad on the hachana.
On the hachana, yes. So that's like the Torah. In other words, I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Since it's up to me, I can be under a lot of stress. But it's just like if a bar das were training himself, he would allow himself to become tense when you need the exertion, but not when it's no longer needed for it. The ideal person would summon a lot of oomph and tension for the parts that he's supposed to be good at, and if for the parts that he's supposed to do, and whatever happens. That's already not him. And then he says here that the pachad itself, so for the things that should be norm, the person has no makom for pachad. And if he has a makom for pachad, it's only because a sense that he's a bal aveira. The exception is Divrei Torah. In Divrei Torah, yes?
So like you might have pachad thinking that you're not doing as good as you spoke, or in Hashem's eyes, you're not good enough.
Well, like I said before, a person needs to focus his senses to the benefit. So, for instance, let's take an example. A person is nervous to speak publicly. So, if a person is in control of himself, the nervousness before he gets up to speak, some element of it is positive. It helps prime a person. A person who's apathetic and gets up to speak is not going to speak well and probably fall asleep in a speech. Not a good way to go about it. A person needs to some prime. But when the tension becomes overloaded, it's not productive. Because my seichel shapes my midas. That's a big part of how I work on my midas. I need to take pachad. I need to say, what is the right domain for pachad? And the answer is nachanis. Because this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing me how much effort did I put into X, Y, or Z. And that, so there a person's tension is understood. But once it's done, now it's B'yad Hashem. So let's take the example gives of Parnasa. Parnasa is known as a person who's supposed to work very hard and do what he's supposed to do. But at the end of that point, that's it. I did what I was supposed to do, and I know this is what's wanted, and it's up to Hashem. There's makom for tefillah, because when it's up to Hashem, tefillah works. But there's no makom for charada, because charada is a way of priming my guf to do the right things. And the one area where a person needs, as a default, to push himself, where it's not natural, is in this area of Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah are, in other words, it's a ruchnistic world that be'etzim is not shy. It's not natural for a person, and a person needs to always appreciate that this is going to be, it's something that requires a constant effort to be there. It's not once it's become rote or habit, then that's done. Okay, I think we'll hold it here. Yeah, pretty much. Maybe next time we'll speak on the. Not the first Nakuda, but I wanted the second one is the bigger Nakuda that he's saying over here.
You also have to rely on your faith on how much you can do.
Right.
You take, you have to rely on it.
Well, he says, I'll be Nascham.
People can do different things.
Right. And the Lashon that he says, I'll be Nascham Tishoin, means, when I'm leaning on something, it means I'm walking. There are three Matzavim. I walk without leaning on anything, anybody. I'm being carried. I do no pu'ula. When I'm leaning on someone, I'm doing a pu'ula, but I'm walking, but for the walk to take place without my falling, I need to lean on you. So that's a situation where you have similar to the point that he's saying. But so v'binos chal tishoyen means the piece that's actually going to have you walk is not your bina. Your bina is making you walk, but the thing that's holding you steady, that's making sure that you got to your place, is not your bina. So that's the truth is, it's a very, very tough combination. If a person is resigned and doesn't do anything, okay, it's a machlokas, but that's a good midas b'tavanat. But for better or for worse, the problem is just being able to resign. Once a person resigns, there's no, to be able to do both together, to work and to do things, all of your with all of your kochos, because that's what you're supposed to do. And then when it happens, to realize, you know, other machlei, but it could have not happened just as well, and generally to believe that way, that's a very, very tough one. It's something that's in Divrei Torah, it's also a problem. A person, I mean, there's a saying from the Masoras of yeshivas that you're only allowed to make a yeshiva if you can walk away from it. In other words, if you can build a yeshiva and then you realize there's something wrong over here. The famous case of Elushin, where they wanted him to have a program that they couldn't be comfortable with, or whatever it is. If once a person identifies the result with himself, it's very hard to do it. What a person realizes that Chon as I did, you know, the Mark Levins, and Hashem is the one made accomplished, so now my vote is to move on. It's not the place I, you know, it's not the Chetimtzim. Okay. Good, yes, Scott, for coming. You'd like to trade it in? Are you sure it's good? Well, there's a sink right here, the washing sink for water. I think it's perfect.
Okay, thank you.
They now have a huge library you can put on your phones, on these phones. I had a neighbor, it's called Ovlecha V'Derech. Yeah, you've seen it? It's amazing.
For me, I have a hard enough time with this.
It's enough. Hard enough.
That's true.
Also, I have a kolashon here. You can.